Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee for Lee and Keys Real Talk Radio. Oh, man, tonight, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to do a UFC 272 review. We're going to talk about our fight of the night, our fighter of the night. Then we're going to talk about what should be next for Kobe and what should be next for Masvidal as we go forward. Then today, we have some news come out that Tony Ferguson is going to be fighting Michael Chandler. I think it's on the same card as Oliveira versus Gaethje. So, yeah, we definitely got a lot to talk about. UFC 272 was this past weekend. I thought it was a good card. Thought it was some good fights. Something I want to talk about from Saturday. What's up to my man Keys? How you doing today, bro?
What's up, bro? I'm good. How you doing?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I'm hanging in there.
Tired
of this snow.
What we talking about so far? Let's get into it.
Man, I just did an intro, letting people know what we're going to be talking about, reviewing 272. Probably talk about our fight of the night, and then what's next for Kobe and Masvidal going forward. Kobe called his shot after the main event. Then we got some news today. Michael Chandler versus Tony Ferguson, I think on the same card as Oliveira versus Gaethje. So I think that's big. I saw our boy Evan say he wanted Chandler versus Ferguson to be 5 rounds. But we already know if Chandler get out the first round, it's basically a wrap. But, you know, man. So what's up with you, man? How you doing today?
Okay, hear me? Okay. I'll show what's going on with that. I'll drop and then hop back in. Yo, can you hear me? Man, I don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, Yo.
Yeah, I heard you, bro. Go ahead.
Man, I don't know what's going on. Could you hear me?
I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, it sounded completely silent to me. All I could hear is the robot telling me that I'm muting myself. Anyways, that's okay.
We know how you hate the robot.
Yeah, that was aggravating. It was like complete radio silence. I was like, all right, I don't know what was going on with that. So I tried to drop and call back, and then I still couldn't hear anything. And I was like, all right, that's pretty crazy. But anyways, what were you asking me just before we got cut off?
I was asking you, what do you think about do you think Chandler and Ferguson should be 5 rounds? Although it's going to be the co-main event prior. I think it should be the co-main event, if I'm not mistaken.
No,
but
there's no way. That's 100% the co-main event, because I would be shocked if there's no way, because if you think about it, the last they had, the UFC did something like this. I mean, think back to the last couple of times they did, because they don't do this that often. I mean, you see like double headers with light heavyweights, see double headers with, you know, other guys, but you don't often see double headers with the big, you know, in the biggest, you know, strongest division in the UFC. They don't do it. You know, you only see, look back, one of the last times was Habib and McGregor. And then you had Ferguson versus Anthony Pettis was a co-main event. And then I want to say the most recent time after that was when McGregor fought Cowboy. And then I want to say you had Anthony Pettis versus I forget his name. He's still in the top. Diego Ferreira.
Ferreira.
Yeah, exactly. So you had, I want to say that was, I think that was the, actually, you know what? I don't think they were the co-main event, but they were on the main card. Yeah, they weren't the co-main event. There was I think like Holly Holm and somebody was the co-main event. And then, but Pettis and Diego were on that card. But, yeah, the last time I can think that they did a, you know, lightweight doubleheader with like top 10 guys was Habib McGregor and Ferguson versus Pettis, which was 4 years ago. I don't recall them doing it again since then. So when they do this, I mean, you can't expect, I don't think we can expect that they're just going to not take that opportunity and they're going to, you know, put a fight in between, you know, four top 10 lightweights, like all the best lightweights. Like there's just no way. And that's kind of a heated rivalry too. You know, Chandler and Ferguson have been chirping at each other since Chandler got into the UFC. You know, this is like 2 years ago at this point. So when Chandler was first getting in, Ferguson had, you know, words for him. I think even before he got in, they had words. So, yeah, that's a heated rivalry. There's no way. I mean, that's going to be – just think about what that press conference is going to be like. I mean, having Oliveira, Gaethje, Ferguson, and Chandler all up on stage. Like that, you think the UFC – I'm not saying you think so, but just anyone. If anyone thinks the UFC is not going to take advantage of that opportunity to have those four guys up at the press conference, then you're just – I got a bridge in Brooklyn I want to sell you.
Hey, T.
My boy.
I totally agree with you.
My boy T.I. says that. That's one of my favorite rappers ever, man, T.I. I love T.I. And he always says that. He said, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I want to sell you, partner.
Yeah,
that's my
man.
Boy right there. Shout out to T.I.
But, you know, man, you did say something that kind of resonates with me is that's money. When, if you can get all four of them at the press conference, and you know they're going to be talking trash to each other because, what, Gaethje has fought Ferguson, right? Yeah. Ferguson has fought Oliveira. Chandler has fought Gaethje and Oliveira. So, yeah, everybody got history up there. So, you know, Oliveira fought Chandler. So, everybody got history, dog. And, hey, I would love to be at that press conference because it's going to be lit. It's going to be lit, man. And actually, it'll give us that feel of when they would do the quarterly press conferences that we used to like so much. It actually give us the feel of that again.
Yeah, that's, you know, I kind of wish the UFC would do more things like this. One thing that I thought about is, you know, those, first of all, those classic press conferences, the ones that I keep on bringing up on the last couple of shows, you know, the nostalgia has just been hitting me, bro. The nostalgia has been hitting me so much. And I just keep thinking about those press. That was like right when I was coming back into the UFC. Like I knew the UFC, you know, I've said this many times. Like I knew of the UFC. I watched like, you know, the early fights when I was like a little kid at that time. I was like 10, 11, 12 years old, like watching some of those fights, Chuck Liddell fights. And then when I would come back in was around the time when I kind of got a little bit older and I understand a little bit more about like what this is. I'm like, all right, let me take another look at it. Was around the time they were doing the Aldo versus McGregor fight. And I remember, actually, it's ironic, I saw the ad for that fight on Twitter. I was like, Aldo versus McGregor, wait, what is this? And then I started watching some of the YouTube stuff, and I saw that press conference they did, or a few of those press conferences. You had Cowboy Cerrone up there. That was, you know, Cowboy's 155 days when he was still a beast. You had Chad Mendez, Aldo, Rafael Dos Anjos when he was still a beast. Obviously McGregor was up there. Jeremy Stevens was up there. You had everybody, like you had like probably 10 featherweights and 10 lightweights. Like, man, those press conferences, they need to get back to that. Like that format right there was crazy because you literally had so many possibilities. The trash talk was endless. Like you had everyone possible that could that could possibly either they already fought or that they're about to fight, or you know, he's the number two guy and the champion is, you know, seated right in front of him. Like, there was so many like ties there, you know, and there was so much room for so much trash talk. And I know I bring up the trash talk a lot, but I feel like that's a part of the game. You know, you have competitive trash talk. That's, I don't mind that. You know, obviously there's a point where it goes too far, but I like the competitive trash talk. Like, I can beat you. You say you can beat me, kind of trash talk. That's kind of what I like, you know. But and those press conferences bring that out. You know what I'm saying? That's where you get that. And yeah, I would love to see them get to that style. I mean, that and this is an opportunity. Obviously, it's not the same thing, but this like that is box office stuff. Like the clips you would get. I mean, everyone in this press conference has pretty much fought each other. I mean, like you said, Chandler fought Oliveira. Oliveira is the only one that hasn't happened is Oliveira and Gaethje. That one's about to happen. But, yeah, Oliveira's fought Chandler. Chandler is about to fight Ferguson. So the only two fights that the only two ways that hasn't happened yet is about to happen. But the rest of it, I mean, Chandler has fought Oliveira and he's fought Gaethje. Gaethje has fought Ferguson. Oliveira has fought Chandler. So a lot of those guys have fought. They've kind of mixed and matched a lot. And the two ways that they, you know, the two fights between those four guys that haven't been made are about to happen on the same card. And I think that Ferguson, I'm 100% positive, has a mouthful. You know, Ferguson's going to have a mouthful for both Gaethje and Chandler. You know, I already know that. Like, what I expect is, they're going to seat Ferguson and Oliveira next to each other, and then they're going to seat Chandler and Gaethje on the opposite side, and you're just going to have, similar to how it was before, probably going to have Ferguson, you know, showing respect to Oliveira and then making comparisons to Gaethje and Chandler, and he's going to be throwing shots at them all night, and that's probably the way that's going to be. So, man, I love to see it. I would love to see it, and I know it's going to happen. So I'm going to see it. We're going to see it.
Yeah, bro, I totally agree, man. Because I love Ferguson at the press conferences because he becomes the life of the party. That's his element. So I'm totally for that. But look, let me ask you this though, Keith. Early prediction for Chandler Ferguson. How you see the fight going?
I haven't seen too much. I really need to dive back into MMA Twitter, first of all, because I need to be seeing more hot takes than I'm actually seeing, you know, on my own feed. I don't follow a ton of MMA Twitter. I have a mix of things, but when I go on our @LKE Real Talk, @LeeandKeysRealTalk on our Twitter is where I see, you know, my little dose of MMA Twitter. I need to get back into it because I want to know what people think out there. But I have seen a few takes saying that they think Tony Ferguson's going to get knocked out. And I'm just trying to figure out how. I'm just trying to figure out how he gets knocked out, because I'm pretty sure – I don't think Ferguson has – has Ferguson been knocked out? I think he's been knocked out like one time. I think he got knocked out by Michael Johnson. I want to say Michael Johnson knocked him out like years ago. And that's – is it Michael, or am I thinking of Poirier? I don't know. I'm not sure. Michael Johnson might have knocked out him and Poirier, to be honest. But I think that was the only guy that he's been knocked out. So Ferguson does not really get knocked out. And honestly, we're going to talk about being knocked out. I mean, Ferguson – I still think people are underrating Tony Ferguson at this point. I mean, he's been training with Freddie Roach. And nobody wants to give him credit for how good his stand-up looked in the Darius fight. Still nobody talks about that. I don't hear any analysts talking about that on any of these shows. I don't see anyone. I'm looking forward to see if Chael Sonnen will admit it, or if Lionheart Smith will bring it up, because he's usually pretty real. I like what Lionheart Smith has to say. I think he's really good with the commentary. That dude has a mind for the game. And I'm sure he'll say it. He usually is pretty – he usually keeps it real with you know, even if it's against the popular opinion. You know, Anthony Smith, he keeps it real, and I'm sure he'll bring it up. But Chael will probably bring it up. That Ferguson stand-up looks so good versus Darius. His head movement looked so good. His footwork looked so good. I want to say it was mainly his head movement. I got to watch that fight again, but I want to say his biggest thing was his head movement looked so good. It was like Dariush just couldn't do anything with him on the feet. And I was like, damn, like Dariush is going to have to take him down or he's not going to win this fight. Like Ferguson is just in a – he's in a different zone now with his striking. Clearly, it was paying off, and now this is so far into the future. You know, this is from that point. I don't know, was that like 9 months ago or something? And he's gotten to train with him that whole time. Man, Ferguson's about to be a beast, bro. He's about to be a beast. He's about to look like a beast. So not only does he not really get knocked out, he has been training with Freddie Roach the whole time. I think y'all got to worry more about Chandler getting knocked out, honestly. I think you got to worry more about Chandler. If anyone's going to get knocked out, you got to worry about Chandler getting knocked out in this fight, I think. And that is a hot take, and that's fine. That's fine because, two, is that we know that Chandler really only comes with one round. So what is he going to do? What is he going to do after that one round that he comes with? And I'm a fan of him, but it's just disappointing. He only comes with one round. What is he going to do after that one round? I mean, he's probably going to throw all his power in the first round. And Ferguson is not the kind of guy who's just going to keep on coming forward and getting hit. I mean, at least not now. He used to get hit more than he should be. You know, he used to get hit a lot and getting hit more than he should. But then ever since he's been training with Freddie Roach now, I mean, obviously we know he has a great chin, but now he's been training with Freddie Roach's head movement. Chandler might be shadow boxing in there. My early prediction, I'd say Ferguson. I think Ferguson's going to stop Chandler. Probably, assuming it's a three-round fight, I'd say Ferguson stops Chandler probably in the second or third round, either by submission or by TKO.
Yeah, I'm leaning the same way. I'm probably going to go Ferguson. Probably late second, early third submission. I guess Chandler, until I see something different from him, whereas he shows me that he can go in a full fight, not just the first round, then I would pick against him, man, because at this level and in that weight class, you fighting killers, man. Everybody in that division can go. And if you coming in there with a one-round game plan, you ain't going to win much. But you were the one that came out and said that, Lee, it was on our show, you said, Lee, I don't care, Ferguson lost. Did you see his head moving? Did you see him not get hit as much? And I was like, man, I really didn't pay attention to it. But then I went back and I watched the fight. I was like, yo, because normally when he leave a fight, he was normally toe up, win or lose. Sometimes he may have won the fight, but he looked like he lost the fight. But I think Freddie Roach has definitely got him moving his head more. He ain't taking as much damage. I think that may be leading to, you know, these kind of subpar performances we've seen in his last two fights. Although I thought the Dariush fight, you know, that fight really wasn't exciting. Dariush just took him down, and you know, but I like the way Tony is looking. But like you said, I'm probably going to go second, third round submission, Ferguson. I just don't trust Chandler after the first round. But look, man, Saturday night we had some good fights, bro. But it's something I got to get off my chest. Give me a minute, and I'm going to let you chime in. All right. Rafael Dos Anjos versus Renato Moicano. Moicano took the fight on short notice. He said, I read somewhere he said that he was enjoying himself. He was partying. He was drinking. He wasn't even in fight mode. And then he was offered to fight RDA on short notice. He took the fight. Watching that fight, I was so disappointed in Moicano's corner. He was taking such a beating that there is no – that the doctor came in twice. The referee warned him that, yo, man, if I don't see something for him, I'm going to stop the fight. Why would you subject your fighter to taking that punishment? And it was a five-round fight. That's what the UFC – I thought the UFC was wrong. Why would you put Moicano in a five-round fight? You know he took the fight on short notice. Normally when people take a fight on short notice, it's only a three-round fight. But – That's neither here nor there. I think Moicano's corner, Keys, I was so disgusted with them Saturday night. I was so disgusted that I wrote an article on the job of the cornerman. First priority is your fighter's safety and well-being. I know Moicano came out there in the fifth round, and he showed heart, and, you know, he went out on his shield and all that good stuff. But Keys, man, I was so pissed off watching that fight when they sent him back out there for the fifth round. I think I was more bad about the Moicano thing than I was Raquel Pennington when her corner sent her back out in the fifth round just to get knocked out. What did you think about Moicano's corner Saturday?
Well, the thing is this, right? The thing is, you know, I was just saying this, and I was actually pretty much ranting about this the entire duration of the fight. I was saying from start to finish, from the opening bell, the only commentary that I even had was just talking about how much I really hate these short notice fights. Honestly, that's all I had to say. I really didn't really feel like Moicano was in the fight at any point. You know, people love to talk about guys when they, you know, they showed heart and they have these flash moments where they look like they're coming back or they're landing shots and they're already bloodied. And it's like, yeah, that's great. But not when a guy's been getting dominated the whole fight. Like, he clearly wasn't in the fight. And, you know, not even that, but you put him in there. This reminded me just of what happened a couple of weeks before with Islam versus Bobby Green. Is like, okay, you put Islam, what's he, number five? This is pretty much the same thing, almost. This is very close to the same thing that they just did. And I was disgusted with both. And it was, you put Islam, he's number five ranked, I think, versus Bobby Green, who is not even ranked, okay, 10 days notice. Okay, now go forward. Rafael Dos Anjos is number six ranked. You put him versus Moicano. Moicano, also not ranked. Also, 1 week notice. I think that was less than 10. I think that was like 7 days notice. Why are they putting guys in there on such short notice? Like, I don't understand this. Like, it's already bad enough that you're doing these matchups. Like, oh, let's put this top five ranked guy versus an unranked fighter. This is totally fair. Let's do this. They're probably of the same skill level. It's like, man, no, they're not. Like, there was no way Moicano was going to beat Dos Anjos. That's just terrible to me. I completely agree with you that, you know, they should have stopped that fight probably by like round three. I don't even think it should have went four rounds. You know, I think it should have been stopped early on because he was clearly not in there. And it was just like, you know, you couldn't even recognize him. You know what I mean? I want to say around that point, you couldn't even recognize him after three rounds. And then it was just like, it was just him getting battered. And it's like, and every time he lands like one shot, everyone's like, oh man, the crowd. And it's like, really? Like, what are y'all cheering for? Like, this is just, it's kind of like savage, like, you know, when the UFC does shit like that, it's kind of savage, you know, and not the good kind of savage. It's savage, meaning it's kind of disgusting. It's like, we're watching a guy getting dominated, he's getting beat up so bad in a fight that he shouldn't even be in a fight that shouldn't have been sanctioned, and we're all cheering for it. And I just think this is wrong. That's how I feel about it. I think it was wrong, and they shouldn't have even done that fight. Okay, You had a good enough main card, and you had fights on the prelims that you could have moved up to the main card, right? You had fights on there that you could have moved up to the main card. You could have moved my boy, I called him Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith, when you asked me last week, you said, "Is your sleeper fight?" I said, "My boy Devontae Smith." I want to say he won that fight. And I think it was a good sleeper fight because it actually was a good fight, if I remember correctly. I'm pretty sure they did have a good fight. I think he won by decision. But they did have a good back and forth, and that I think I picked a good one for that one, honestly. Not to float my own boat, but that was solid. I think you could have gave him that spotlight and put Devontae Smith. You could have put him up as the first fight on the main card. Boom. Take Dos Anjos off the card. That's fine. You have a Kevin Holland versus Cowboy Oliveira fight on there. You got Covington and Masvidal is there. You got Greg Hardy, fighting Spivak on the main card. Like, you had plenty of box office type fights. Like, you had banger fights on there. It's not like it was lacking in star power, in my opinion. I don't think it was lacking. I don't think it was lacking in, they won't even say star power, we'll say talent. I don't think it was lacking in talent to where you had to put Moicano in there as a human sacrifice for Rafael Dos Anjos, because that's what that was. Completely disagree with that. That fight shouldn't have happened. They should have moved it back. And what they should have done, and I'm going to tie this into what we were just talking about, is they should have added Islam versus Rafael Dos Anjos to that card in May and make it a triple header for the lightweights. That's the banger. Now that's the banger.
Yeah. I really like that idea.
Now imagine those six guys at the press conference. Imagine all of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Another thing, though, Keys, and I know we done talked about this plenty of times on our show. The reason the UFC doesn't have fighters that they keep having these guys take these fighters on fights on short notice, they have too many events, bro. Too many events, man, where they can't, that other fighters are either in a fight camp and they not willing to, jump to another fight. So, man, I think a fighter should not fight twice within 30 days. I think that needs to be some kind of rule. A fighter cannot fight twice within a 30-day time frame. Moicano, corner, the ref, and the ringside doctor all failed him Saturday. And it was just sad to watch. But, hey, let's talk about some good news, man. Who was your fight? What was your fight of the night Saturday?
Fight of the night, I mean, let me look at this. I mean, Kevin Holland looked really good. That fight comes to mind
really
when
good.
I say that. What did you say?
I said he was really good. And we didn't even talk about when we was doing our predictions that he was going down in weight. I forgot he was going down in weight for this fight.
Yeah, so when you – that was his debut at welterweight. I thought he fought at welterweight before. I could have sworn he already fought at welterweight, but they were saying – I'm pretty sure that was his welterweight debut. I guess he was at middleweight the whole time when I thought he was at welterweight. So that's fine, but, I mean, I'll put it this way. I don't really remember – I mean – Greg Hardy kind of just got tossed around by Sergey Spivak.
Nah, Keith, I know what your fight of the night should be, because you text me and you was like, bro, Tim Elliott, and I was like, man, I ain't seen it.
Yes, that was it. You reminded me, because I was, I don't have great short-term memory, so I don't always remember. Like, usually on a Monday, like, I'll talk to my dad on the phone. And my dad will be like, oh, what'd you do over the weekend? And I'll be like, I won't even remember, anything I did over the weekend. my short-term memory is definitely not good. I'm more of a long-term memory guy, but yeah, I'm glad you reminded me that about Tim Elliott, because man, Tim Elliott, that was a banger. I mean, do I think it was like a great back and forth? I mean, some might say it was. I think he kind of dominated that fight, which I love to see it. I mean, you had Khabib, like, flipping out on the sidelines because his fighter was getting pretty much destroyed by an American, which, yep, he did get destroyed by an American. I'm proud to say it, because y'all love to say, and this is no, you know what I mean? No, this is no offense, but y'all love to say, wrestlers from Dagestan, all these fighters, they're great. Wrestling grapplers, we love to say how, Americans aren't on that level as those fighters. Well, that night we were. That night, an American fighter beat the brakes off a fighter from Dagestan, one of Khabib's proteges, number 15 lightweight in the world. Well, made him look like an amateur, in my opinion. Complete amateur. Stopping all of his offense. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That was my fight of the night, because Tim Elliott really, really impressed me in that performance.
Yeah, because I know you was like Lee, Tim Elliott, and I think you had like exclamation points and everything. I was like, man, I missed it because I had took my grandsons to the barbershop, so I kind of got caught up at the barbershop, but. Man, I'm going to go with my under-the-radar fight, man. My under-the-radar fight was Marina Rodriguez against Yan Zionan. I thought them ladies put on a hell of a fight. I thought Zionan actually won the fight. I kind of came in sort of between the early second round going into the third. The first round probably could have been the swing round, but I thought the Yan looked very good. Her striking was very good. And, bro, it was just those two ladies put on a hell of a fight. And like you said, they could have moved RDA off the main card. And this was one of the fights that I thought they would move to the main card. I mean, that should have been on the main card anyway, especially in place of Greg Hardy versus Spivak. But Marina, she's on a little streak now. I like her. I like her fighting style. I thought the judges there gave her a win that she really didn't have, that she really didn't win. But, hey, man, the two young ladies put on a hell of a show, bro.
Now, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
We got to get into the main event.
Yeah, we do.
We got to get into the main event. So let me ask you this. Who do you think should be the next fight for Jorge Masvidal?
Oh, man. Man, it's so hard, Keys, because he's on a three fight losing streak. He really hasn't looked good. Cause let me see. Gilbert Burns is taken. Leon Edwards is finally going to fight for the belt. He's not getting another shot at Usman. Vicente Luque is scheduled to fight Bilal Muhammad. Oh, man. Has he fought Wonderboy yet?
Masvidal fought Wonderboy back at MSG, I want to say 2017. He lost by unanimous decision.
All right, this is a tough one.
I personally like him in. Now that I think of it, there's actually two fights that I would like for Jorge Masvidal. The first one that I would prefer to see would be I don't know if either of these guys have fights right now, but the first one that I would like to see is him and Santiago Ponzinibbio. That would be the first one that I would prefer to see. I think that's a great fight. And the second one that I would prefer to see would be him and Jeff Neal.
I like the Jeff Neal fight. I like the Jeff Neal fight, but I like the Ponzinibbio fight more. But I'm going to throw a wild card out at you. He already beat Nate Diaz. What about Nick Diaz? I think that's a wild card fight, but I like Jeff Neal, but I think Ponzinibbio will probably be more of the style of fight that Masvidal will want to fight. Somebody that's probably not going to wrestle him as much. Somebody that's probably going to stand and bang. So just for stylistic matchup, I would go with Ponzinibbio over Jeff Neal, although Jeff Neal can go. But I like the Ponzinibbio fight.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I would say is that, you know, at least on the Nick Diaz thing, one thing that I would say about that is, in my opinion, so bad versus Robbie Lawler. Like, a lot of people have said that Nick Diaz, like, looks good, and I don't know. Like, I didn't really think him or Robbie Lawler looked that good. I mean, people were saying – people seem to have really different takes, but I thought Nick Diaz looked really bad. And I mean, I don't even think I'd want to see him fight anybody. I mean, especially someone like Masvidal, who's clearly in much better shape than Nick Diaz is. I mean, if Nick Diaz was going to fight, I'd want to see him take like someone who's a bit more like on his level, like maybe a Matt Brown. I could see him fighting somebody like that, or maybe Carlos Condit. Carlos Condit will probably beat him down, in my opinion. Carlos Condit's been, you know, looking pretty good, but yeah, some people like that, people that are like more from his era, I'd rather see him fight. I think Masvidal would probably smash Nick Diaz pretty easily.
Yeah, I think another name that's out there is Sean. I just seen the guy that's ranked right above him is Sean Brady. I really don't know the guy, but would he fight somebody like a Sean Brady? I don't know. But, hey, man, Masvidal, Jess King, some of these guys, and they post-fight interviews, they say some of the weirdest stuff, and it just drives me up the wall. Why would Masvidal say my wrestling wasn't there? Bro, Colby Covington told you what he was going to do. That's all you should have been practicing. He said he was going to take you down over and over and over again. So, man, I was pissed when he said that. And then when you tweeted out that he said something about the money, that, you know, I got paid, la, 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 la. I can't respect guys like that, man. You're doing a disservice to the sport.
Yeah. I mean, my thing with that fight is that, you know, I have some pretty strong opinions about that fight. I mean, personally, I'm going to say this. I loved watching that fight. I was enjoying myself. I was smiling. I was really having a good time watching that fight. I know a lot of people didn't like the fight. You said you thought the fight was a snooze. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people said that it was a snooze. But to me, I was entertained. I thought you know, you had a good mix of striking and wrestling in that fight. And it just so happened that Masvidal was not on, you know, he was the one receiving it. You know, he was the one getting beat down. So, you know, for anyone who was hoping for Masvidal to win, of course, and I'm not saying that's you, but for all the Masvidal fans, of course, you know, they're going to say that was a boring fight. But really what happened was, you know, your boy fought in the sport of mixed martial arts, right? And you have multiple different styles that you can fight in mixed martial arts. It's not just boxing. So
True.
We don't have to watch a stand-up fight. Kobe Covington was D1 wrestler. He does not have to stand up and throw hands with Masvidal for five rounds. He can use his
True.
Wrestling. And what he chose to do was do both. He did both. And before, you know, they try to say all he did was wrestle. That's not true, because Masvidal was losing the striking exchanges. What was if there was no striking in the fight, why did I see Kobe land flurries on Masvidal multiple times? He was landing flurries over and over and over again. I'm pretty sure it was even right after Masvidal landed that shot, and everybody said, how come Jorge didn't just jump on that, you know, in the fourth round? I'm pretty sure Kobe, like, he didn't even, like, fall down. He went down on a knee. So I think he was rocked. But he went down on a knee and then stood right back up. And I think he landed a flurry on Masvidal right after that. I'm pretty sure it was right after that he landed a flurry on Masvidal. So that and he was landing them the whole fight. He was landing shots. You know, he landed a good amount of head strikes. I haven't seen the stats, but he landed plenty. And he did plenty of strike in that fight. And he did a mix. You know, it's what you should do. You know, the best fighters, the wrestler always beats – a pure wrestler always beats a pure striker, you know, 9 out of 10 times. But what's probably going to beat both – yeah, what's probably going to beat both, and this is probably, you know, one of the best styles to have in the UFC in this era, is a wrestler and a striker, someone who can do both, someone who has the boxing and has the wrestling. That's why Usman is so dominant now, because for a while it was like, oh, Usman can only wrestle. But his wrestling was still good enough that, you know, he could beat the strikers, but his problem was he was losing in the stand-up. You know, he wasn't looking too good. We weren't too confident in stand-up. But then now Usman, you know, he's number one pound for pound because he now gains the striking advantage too. So now he's a wrestler and a striker. That's like the most dangerous style in the game.
Yes,
you know,
it
so
is.
That's the most dangerous style in the game to have in this era of the UFC. So that's what Kobe Covington is. He's a wrestler and a striker. Obviously, there's better boxers than him in the UFC. I'm not saying he's one of the best boxers, but how come Masvidal was losing all the striking exchanges? This is what I'm trying to figure out with the Masvidal. Like, the people that the naysayers, explain it to me. Why was he losing all the striking exchanges? What happened? You said all Kobe did was wrestle. How come Masvidal didn't do better in the stand-up? He had many, many, many minutes of stand-up in that fight. There was plenty of moments Masvidal could have done more in stand-up, and he could have landed big shots that could have changed the trajectory of the fight. Why didn't he? Why was he not able to?
I think once he got taken down, because every time they was in a striking position, that's when he got taken down. Every time. It was like Kobe timed him up every time. But, man, Masvidal I just don't understand how you not prepared. How you and your camp not prepared. And that fourth round, he did rock Kobe. I thought he should have put some pressure on Kobe. And I think if he would have won that round, probably in the fifth round, because I had Masvidal, I want to say, I had Kobe winning round one. I had Masvidal winning round two. Kobe winning round three. And then Kobe rebounded from the knockdown and ended up winning round four. So I was just thinking, yo, he missed the opportunity to win a round. So coming out of round five, if it's 2-2, anything can happen. But Masvidal is what I want to call a one-trick pony. And if that one trick don't work, he has no plan B. And like you said, a well-rounded fighter is always going to be a one-trick pony. And Masvidal has, if he can't knock you out, what's the other way he can beat you? There is none that I can see. He can't beat you in a wrestling match. He ain't going to beat you in a jiu-jitsu style match. So Kobe did what he was supposed to do. He went in, he mixed it up, he used his striking to set up the takedowns, and when he took them down, he was always trying to submit them, and when he wasn't trying to submit them, he was hitting them. So Kobe fought a good fight. I mean, I don't like the guy personally, but as a fighter, he did what he's supposed to do. And Masvidal, as a fighter, he had no answers for it. So, but Keys, we got to talk about the call out, bro. All right. Why are we calling out Dustin Poirier, who fights in another weight class? I mean, what does that fight do for Khabib Covington?
I didn't really get it. Okay, so this is what I'm going to say. So Khabib Covington had really confused me at first with that call out. He had confused me with that. But then I had I'd watched some videos. I think it was Chael Sonnen might have said it. And it made a little bit more sense to me why he would call him out. And I'll say this. It doesn't really make sense in terms of the rankings. You know, why would he fight a lightweight? Like, you know, he probably figures, you know, what, you know, he just had a dominant performance, you know, probably win another fight and then get to fight whoever the champion is after that. That's probably what he is thinking. And, you know, in terms of the rankings, it's random because it's like, okay, you're not fighting a top welterweight. You want to fight a lightweight. But Chael Sonnen brought this up, and I hadn't thought of it, was that Poirier is a lightweight, but isn't he angling to fight Nate Diaz right now at 170?
I think that they want to fight at 165 or something like that.
Oh, 165?
Yeah.
All right. So that's cool. But I mean, when I wasn't thinking about what weight that fight would be at, I was like, all right, Poirier and Diaz, cool. But I never really thought about, okay, this is, you know, most likely gonna be at 170, or it's not gonna be at 155. You know that, because Diaz hasn't fought 155 in like 7 years or something like that. I think it's been like 7 years since Diaz has fought 155. And he's not going back to 155. So it's either at 170 or 165, 165 or 170. But either way, it made more sense when someone brought that up. Because if he's trying to fight Nate Diaz, who is technically a welterweight, even if they fight at 165, Nate Diaz, he's more a welterweight than he is a lightweight. He's fought all welterweight in the past 6 years. So he's a welterweight. And so when they said that, I was like, okay, Poirier basically wants to move up to either 165, wherever the hell it is. But he wants to move up to fight a welterweight at whatever weight. So once they said that, it made more sense. I was like, okay, technically, Poirier is already moving up to fight a welterweight. So now Kobe wants to fight him. I'm like, okay. Because if Poirier was angling to fight another lightweight right now, I would say, okay, this is kind of weird. Like, Poirier is not even trying to move up. Why is he trying to? It would make less sense. But it makes more sense that when I look at Poirier already trying to move up to fight a welterweight.
I think Poirier moving up to fight Nate is a one-off. I don't think he's moving up permanently. I just think it's a one-up to fight Nate, since Nate called him out. But if I'm Poirier and Kobe Covington wants to fight me, I make him come down to 155. I'm not fighting him at 170. I'm not fighting him at 165. Since you want the fight so bad, come down to 155. Come see me at 155, and we'll make the fight happen. You know what? Von Poirier, I want every advantage I could possibly have in a fight against a guy. And then the call-out seemed so personal. He talked to brought up the man's wife again. I mean, it was just seemed like it was a personal thing. I didn't even know they had beef or nothing like that. But, hey, if Von Poirier, I know they don't cuss on this show, fuck it. Kobe, come see me at 155. We'll make it happen. Nate, okay, Nate, this is Nate's last fight. You know, I'll see you at 165, Nate. I'll do it for Nate, but I'm not doing it for Kobe. That's me, Von Poirier.
Yeah, so Poirier and Nate Diaz, I mean, that's something that he's willing to move up and wait for, whatever weight it is. You know, maybe he doesn't want to move up to 170 to fight Colby Covington. I mean, looking at it from like a more objective standpoint, I mean, and this could also be subjective. You might also say this is my opinion. I guess it is, but I mean, I'm trying to be legitimate about that fight and really looking at it. It's like, you know, that's also not like a great business move for Poirier. Like for him to move up and go to fight Colby Covington at 170, you know, he's more than likely going to lose that fight. Like that's not, you know, Poirier has a better chance than Masvidal. I'd say he has more of a chance, which is actually some people might disagree and say, wow, Masvidal is a lot bigger than Poirier. How are you going to say that? I think Poirier is just like a couple steps better than Masvidal. Honestly, I think so. At any weight.
Because he got better skills.
I think what'd you say?
Because Poirier has better overall skills.
Yeah, and Poirier, you know, is also – Poirier, you know, has fought legit guys. Like, Masvidal kind of got hyped off, you know, a couple, you know, wins off guys that it's like, who really cares? And then it was like they made him seem like he was a title contender. And Poirier actually is a title contender. Like, look at his resume. He always fights, like, the top five guys. Like, he's fought in, I feel like, the top five everywhere. Like, that dude has fought in, how many former champions Poirier has fought? Like, that's crazy when you look at it. Like, he's fought some of the craziest, most dangerous guys, you know, minus Tony Ferguson. I'm surprised he hasn't fought Ferguson yet. But, hey, that who's to say that doesn't happen this year? It could. But, yeah, I don't know what that call out. I mean, what I mainly think it is that Colby Covington is trying to make all the fights that he has. You know, he's trying to fight. He's trying to get all his grudge matches. He's trying to go for all his grudge matches. That's what I see. He's trying to fight all the guys that he has, like, some kind of beef with or some kind of actual beef with. He's going for all those fights. Instead of going for, you know, the fights in his division that it's like, all right, I need to prove myself against this guy, you know, and fight, like, the top, you know, number three guy or fight Leon Edwards or whoever. He's going for what he sees as the bigger fights, which, I mean, honestly, they kind of are bigger fights because they're all big names that he has beef with. I mean, him versus Poirier would be a pretty big fight. Him and Masvidal is obviously a big fight. Him and Usman is obviously a big fight. But he also has, like, some kind of issue with each of those guys to where the fight can sell beyond just the competitive aspect of it. There's something aside from, I'm going to fight you in the cage. There's something that can make a press conference. You know what I mean? So it seems like he's going after those kinds of fights rather than going after fighting like the top, you know, number three guy or something like that. That's what I'm seeing.
I probably could have gave it more respect if he would have called out Islam, because, you know, everybody think Islam is the next greatest thing, you know. If Kobe would have been like, yo, I want to test my skills against this Islam, you know, See, let's see what he's about. Let's see whether or not he championship material instead of him calling out Poirier. I would have respected that more than that. But, you know, man, I guess there's a lot of beefs in the UFC. But if on Poirier, like you said, business-wise, Kobe, you got to come see me at 150. I need every advantage that I can win, every advantage I can get to win the fight going against a top five guy in his weight class coming down to fight me. So, hey, man, it is what it is. But real quick, did you see the picture I sent you?
Yeah, the Marlon Vera versus Rob Font fight.
Yeah, main event.
Bro, yeah, that's an absolute banger, bro. That's an absolute banger. I love that fight. I mean, and I was saying that, and when we last talked about Rob Font, which was probably like a month or two ago, saying I want to see him take some time off, which I don't remember when he last fought. I mean, that fight's not till April 30th, so that's still kind of a little while away, you know, 6 weeks away or whatever. But I forget when he last fought. I want to say Font fought Aldo in like November or December. I think it was December. And if so, that's okay. So he takes, you know, a couple months, and then now he's getting into camp. That's cool. He's probably in camp now, but that's fine. He took some time off. I would have liked to see him go against somebody who, like, would test his wrestling a little bit more, since Aldo pretty much dominated him on the mat in that fight for the most part. I would have liked to see him, go like, hone his wrestling, go against someone that has more of a wrestling background. Marlon Vera, I'm pretty sure Marlon Vera is, like, really more of a striker and submission guy, I want to say. I don't think he's really a wrestler. You know, he's going to hit you with some leg kicks and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I guess it's cool. You know, Rob Font, I think if Rob Font can, you know, obviously Marlon Vera is very tough. I'm a fan of him as well. And that's a tough fight for him. But I think if Rob Font can check the leg kicks, which I want to say his last fight, I didn't really see him checking leg kicks, which I wasn't happy with. But I think if he can withstand Marlon Vera's leg kicks, I think he wins that fight. You know, I think as far as the boxing itself and the stand-up, I think Rob Font can outmatch him in the striking. He just needs to deal with the leg kicks. And I think he'll be good in that fight.
Man, I think this fight could be an absolute banger. Both guys can strike. Both guys, man, are tough guys, man. I'm kind of with you on this a little bit. I would have rather see Font, like, go and work on some stuff that, you know, that let him down against when he fought Jose Aldo. But, you know, this is the fight we getting, a five-round main event on a fight night. And this is what fight night should be used for. Marlon Vera is tough. He's going to talk a lot of trash when he's in there. So I think as long as Font can stay focused and not get caught up in Marlon Vera's little tactics inside the octagon, I think he got a good chance of winning this fight. But like you said, those leg kicks can be hellacious, but Font can't make it. He can't lose another wrestling match. So, but I do like this fight, bro. Any last words?
Nah, that's probably not. I mean, yeah, there's nothing really on my mind for that. Thank you to anybody who listens to our show. I appreciate it. If you listen tonight, appreciate that. Add us on Twitter. Hit us up. You know, if you catch the show a couple of days later or whatever, or if you just happen to see us on Twitter, it's at LKE Real Talk on Twitter. Hit us up with your thoughts or opinions on anything that was said, or if you see us tweet something, hit us back. You know, I'm down to go back and forth with people, but don't make me have to block you because the block button's ready. But we can have a healthy debate, though. You know, we can have a healthy debate because, you know, I'm just like me and Lee used to do. Nowadays, we kind of agree on everything, so there's really not much to debate about. But, you know, that's why I can just debate with y'all instead. But don't get toxic, though, because the block button's ready. yeah, that's all I got. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, man. Just want to send a shout out to former UFC champion Cain Velasquez. Keep your head up, bro. You know, you did what most people probably would have done if they was in your position. But you know, you got to let the justice system do their thing now. But I'm sending close and prayers out to Cain and his family. And like he said, follow us at LKE Real Talk. You know, I've been a little bit more active up there lately. You know, I got off Twitter a little bit, but I'm kind of back up there now. So, hey, next Wednesday night, we'll be coming at you again, talking on UFC, latest news and rumors. So, everybody have a great night, a great weekend. It's snowing out here.
One more thing. I just want to say one more thing, right? Ready? Just give me a minute, right? So, also, you know, MMA is not the sport of boxing, and it's also not the sport of kickboxing. So don't watch the fight to just complain and say, stand them up, or this guy doesn't want to fight. If a guy is a great wrestler, he's a great wrestler. If, you know, he's great at jiu-jitsu, that's what he does. You know, you have to respect whatever guys do. If you respect the sport, I mean, I do. You might not, but if you're an MMA fan, you know, you have to understand that there's other disciplines in here. There's not a sport of boxing, and it's not kickboxing. So, you know, to sit there and, you know, people on Twitter, this guy, you know, scared to fight. It's like, bro, everyone has their own discipline that they excel in, and you can't expect them to not use it. You know, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you have, like, there's guys in there that say that they're, you know, high-level wrestlers, and we've just mysteriously never seen their wrestling before. So I respect the guys that, you know, are high-level and they actually use their skills. You should use it. If you have it, you should use it. You know, every guy should try to have as many weapons in, you know, his or her arsenal as possible. That's the way that you're going to win. You have to be able to be ready for everything, you know, and that's, so if you're an MMA fan, you know, you should respect that. If you don't respect that, you know, maybe you're not an MMA fan. Maybe you need to go watch the sport of boxing, because it seems like you just want to see guys stand up and throw punches. So that sounds like the sport of boxing to me. So maybe you're a boxing fan. So just know that. And yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I think I saw a lot of stuff about Bryce Mitchell. A lot of people was tweeting about his style. I think I even tweeted after the fight. I mean, I knew that how his fight was going to go, but I just posed the question, is, let's say if Bryce Mitchell fights somebody that he can't take down, can he win? Because I didn't see anything in his striking game that scared me to say, oh, man, you know, he can outstrike somebody. And I kind of posed that question to everybody Saturday, because I just something I observed in his fight, that his striking really isn't that good. But once he takes you down, he's a beast. So, but like my man Keith said, in MMA, there are disciplines, there are a lot of disciplines that you can use in a sport, karate, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, grappling, judo, stand-up. You know, it's a lot of stuff you can use to lead to victory. And the more stuff you can do, that greaters your chance of winning. But, hey, another great show for my man Keys. Like I said, next Wednesday we'll be back. We always try to go off the top, you know. We might have some ideas, you know, what we want to talk about. But once we get up here, basically, we just let it flow. So check us out next Wednesday. And till then, everybody be good. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Lee and Keith signing out. Peace.